You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Trump administration is quietly making changes to how it treats unaccompanied migrant children who are pregnant, and that's raising alarm bells inside the government. That's according to an investigation by the California and Texas newsrooms, which is a collaboration of public media outlets across each state. Since last July, the administration has been concentrating pregnant minors in one shelter in South Texas, even if they're apprehended in California or other states. This comes over objections from the government's own health and child welfare officials, who argue neither the lone facility nor the region along the border can provide the specialized care the girls need. Advocates for the children believe the government is putting the girls at risk to deny them access to an abortion. Following the overturning of Roe v. Wade, Texas prohibits almost all abortions, with an exception if the life or health of the mother is at risk, but doctors have been confused as to what that means. Mark Betancourt is with the California Newsroom and joins me now. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks so much for having me on.
So what sparked this investigation? How did you become aware of this?
Well, I've been covering immigration in particular, sort of the federal aspect of immigration. I actually live in D.C. and I've been working with outlets in California, being able to cover the federal worker end of things from here, just because I can foster those relationships. And people that I had spoken to for previous stories brought this policy to my attention. It wasn't something that the government announced or sort of put in any in writing, actually. And so it was something that just sort of like word of mouth got out to me that it was happening back at the beginning of August, I believe, just after the order was given to start concentrating the girls here. And then I just started looking into it.
You spoke with several sources within the Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR. What went into building trust so they felt comfortable coming forward?
Well, it's a couple different things. One of them is that, you know, you present personally as somebody that, you know, they can invest their trust in. You sort of talk to them however much they need to, answer any of their questions to make sure they're comfortable. But honestly, it also has a lot to do with your fluency in the subject matter. If you seem to understand what's going on, and especially the nuance of it, there are so many things where, you know, they may have had an experience where the media understood things a certain way or wanted to tell a certain story and actually kind of missed what they believe in their expertise is really at the core of it, or who's to blame. And so, you know, you're understanding that you're willing to hear them out and actually follow their lead rather than just sort of use them to tell the story you already want to, I think means a lot to people, especially when they've got a lot on the line. And the truth is that like a lot of federal workers right now, they very much believe that there could be consequences for them if their identities were revealed.
What struck you about what you learned from these several sources that you spoke with? I mean, of course, it started off as a tip, but then you really dug deep into this.
I mean, some of it is the lack of clarity. I guess I sort of assumed that people within the organization, within this particular Office of Refugee Resettlement that's responsible for unaccompanied migrant children, that they would at least understand what was going on, and they just weren't allowed to tell the press or tell the public about it. And I think what really surprised me is that the political leadership making decisions like this is actually, there's a very high wall between them and the career staff who are actually executing these orders and are responsible more directly for the welfare of these children. They genuinely didn't know and hadn't been told the first thing about what was going on or why or what the plan was. And so they, in a lot of ways, they had a lot more expertise and a lot more access to information than I did. But they were also very uncomfortably in the dark, given those responsibilities for the children.
Okay, well, let's unpack what's changed with President Trump's second term. So if an unaccompanied minor is apprehended and is pregnant, what has changed over the past year? What rights do they have and what rights don't they have?
So I'll say that as of right now, nothing has changed yet. So to back up a little bit, A lot of the current regulations actually come out of an attempt during the first Trump administration to restrict access to abortion for unaccompanied children in the care of ORR, the Office of Refugee Resettlement. So at that time, early at some point in 2017, the director of ORR, Scott Lloyd, at the time, started denying permission for girls in ORR care to get abortions, which was, a new development, just sort of unilaterally saying, no, we're not doing that, and being pretty clear about it. And I spoke to him actually about the reasons. He was very clear that he felt he was equally responsible for the children who were pregnant and their unborn babies. He saw it very clearly that way, as that it was his responsibility to protect both of those people, in his words. I mean, he didn't say both of his people, but that was his way of expressing it. But what happened was the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, actually sued on behalf of the girls who'd been denied abortions, saying that essentially they were denied their constitutional right, which extends even to non-citizens while in the United States, to access an abortion. And so the government lost that fight. The Trump administration had to promise that they would not interfere with access to abortion for girls in ORR care. And over time, that became codified in regulations. Ultimately, in 2024, the Biden administration put into regulations, which aren't laws, but sort of carry the same weight as law in court in a lot of cases, saying that the government has to basically guarantee access to abortion for girls in care if they choose it, so basically for any reason, and that they had to, if they're in a state after the fall of Roe v. Wade, when it was overturned by the Supreme Court in 2022, there are some states where it's now almost completely banned, like in Texas. If they happen to be in a state like Texas where it was banned, the ORR was actually responsible for moving them, if they wanted an abortion, to a state where it was available. So it was basically guaranteeing access. Now, that regulation is still in place today. But the Trump administration has just announced a few weeks ago that it is in the process of rescinding that regulation. And that's in part to align with the legal stance of the current Department of Justice, saying that it violates what's called the Hyde Amendment to spend taxpayer money on transporting girls, even if you're not paying for the abortion, transporting girls for the purpose of getting an abortion across state lines. They believe that that's illegal under the Hyde Amendment now. And so the regulations are changing to reflect that legal opinion.
So what stands out to you about this lone shelter in San Benito? I mean, is it common to send unaccompanied minors who are pregnant from all over the country to one single facility in a state?
No.
Is that a big difference?
It's a complete, it's not happened before. The people that I spoke to didn't have any memory of that ever having happened before, in part because it's very rare for there to be as small a number of children in ORR care as there are because of all the Trump administration's other policies that have really shut down the border in so many ways. There just aren't as many people coming across. There were a couple tens, there were over 20,000 kids in ORR care sort of during the Biden administration, and now there are only about 2,500 or less. So there are far fewer kids, but even at any time, no one had ever known the government to concentrate pregnant kids in one place, and that's in part because there aren't a lot of shelters with a ton of resources. Basically, one of the ways that I've been thinking about it is that, if you had a bunch of pregnant people all in one place, that would be a birthing center or a hospital, right? Like that's, you wouldn't normally concentrate people with a really specialized medical need in one place if that wasn't actually a healthcare provider. And so, yes, the way people described it to me was that this is not normally how it's done. They're usually spread out across the country at various places that are best equipped to handle their particular medical needs.
What did you learn about these pregnant children? Their ages, I mean, their common themes that brought them to these circumstances?
Right. So we don't know that much about them. For good reason, there are really, even the people within ORR are very protective, and there are laws protecting their privacy. So they couldn't tell me a lot about individual kids, but they could tell me in general that there have been over a dozen girls have been sent to this shelter since the order to put them there was given in late July. They're all kids in ORR care are minors, so they're under 18. The youngest of the pregnant girls was 13, who was sent here, and about half of them were pregnant as a result of rape. So some of them have been in sort of what you would consider to be forced relationships, or possibly under statutory definitions, non-consensual relationships. A lot of times, people I spoke to believed that sort of all pregnancies among minors are non-consensual, but half of them were actually the result of assault, of sort of like what you would consider more violent rape. So that sort of gives you a sense of they're coming from incredibly traumatic backgrounds. Many of them have been through a lot to get to the United States. You know, they've gone through very harrowing and difficult journeys, a lot of times with very limited health care. And so they've just been through a lot already. They're very stressed. They may be in bad shape. They may have infections, and we don't know much about these particular girls, but it's very common. The people I spoke to who have worked with young migrant girls who are pregnant say that it's very common for them to present with sexually transmitted infections, which can be very dangerous during pregnancy as a result of their sexual assaults. And so they're just, you know, they one of the ORR officials that I spoke to described them as one of the most, if not the most, vulnerable subset of children that are in their care.
You spoke with Jonathan White, who's a longtime federal health official who ran ORR's unaccompanied children program for part of President Trump's first term, and he decided to go on the record with you for this story. He talks to you a little bit about what you already touched upon, about why sending these pregnant children to Texas.
It's an effortless way to have federal government officials deny girls a right to access to abortions. All they have to do is send them to Texas.
And as you mentioned, Texas has a near ban on abortions. And this shelter in San Benito is along the Texas border. It's about 25 minutes from the Gulf. So it is the very, very tip south of Texas. I mean, help us visualize what kind of like medical care is available for these pregnant children.
Well, I reported this story with a reporter named Mose Bouchel out of KUT in Austin, and he did some great shoe leather reporting on the ground in Texas, talked to a lot of people. Together, we talked to quite a few doctors who had worked in that area, and they really just talked about how, you know, people will be familiar with the idea of a healthcare desert where there may be some healthcare, but really just not enough to meet the needs of the population. It's sort of unclear exactly what the definition of that is, but certainly the consensus among healthcare providers in Texas is that the Rio Grande Valley is not where you would send someone if you wanted to make sure they had quick and easy access to really specialized care. The specialists that these girls would really be most important for them to be near are called maternal fetal health specialists. Where they just really, really know if something goes wrong with a pregnancy, they're the people you want to be with. And there are really very few of them in this area compared to even elsewhere in Texas. But Texas is also, because of its near ban on abortion, has also driven out a lot of obstetricians. There are a lot of people just with the sort of specialized knowledge of dealing with pregnancy who have just been very reluctant, as you mentioned in your intro, to practice in Texas because there are very steep criminal penalties that come along with performing an abortion. And it has been unclear to them since the ban was put in place a few years ago what exactly would run afoul of that. And so they feel like this is not a good place to practice, so they've either left or become very reluctant. And so that was part of the concern that I understood to be coming from people within ORR, was just the idea that not only are there not that many practitioners there, but the kind of life-saving care that can come from the full range of medical procedures that are available is just not available in this particular place.
And even like going off of that, you also learned in your investigation about the risks that pregnant minors face. I mean, one might think like, oh, the younger you are, like the more likely you are to have a healthier pregnancy. But that is not the case when you're talking about children.
That's right. I mean, I think what that means is when you're comparing a 40-year-old to a 20-year-old, when you're talking about a 13-year-old or a 12-year-old, one of the former ORR officials that I spoke to said that the youngest girl she'd seen pregnant in ORR care was 10. And so you can just imagine what pregnancy does to the body of a 10-year-old. We spoke to several doctors, an adolescent pregnancy specialist, who brought up the fact that at that age, girls are still growing. And so their pelvises actually may not even be wide enough to safely give birth to a baby. So they can get in really serious trouble pretty quickly, just because their bodies are really not built for the strain. Anybody who's been pregnant or given birth knows that it's not something to sneeze at. So we really learned a lot about the fact that these girls, not just because of their age, but also because of their condition. I mentioned that a lot of them have been through pretty stressful and traumatic situations and have not had proper care on their journey to the U.S., which means that they're just, you know, much, much more vulnerable even than the teenagers that you would see in the United States.
Yeah, one of those doctors you spoke with is Anne-Marie Ames Olschlager, who is an obstetrician in Washington State and specializes in adolescent pregnancy. Let's take a listen.
You know, an adolescent in the U.S. who's not a migrant has higher rates of, you know, preterm delivery, higher rates of low birth weight, higher rates of infant death. And then you add the stress of migration and being in custody. I mean, you're just compounding an already fragile situation and making it more stressful.
Have there been any problems reported at this shelter in San Benito?
Not so far. As far as our sources have been able to tell us, there have been no major medical problems, nothing that really put any of the girls in danger so far. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. I mean, I think what these people, the concerns that we learned about from ORR, what they're worried about, one of the ORR officials that I spoke to said that they really just feel like they're waiting for something terrible to happen, because all it takes is one of these high-risk pregnancies to go south very quickly, and just for the care to not be available and for the staff at the shelter to not be prepared to deal with it. And it could be a really profoundly tragic thing that would be a really big deal, I think, for everyone to have to live with.
What has the Trump administration said in response to your investigation?
I'll quote you exactly what they told me. Over email, they said ORR's placement decisions are guided by child welfare best practices and are designed to ensure each child is housed in the safest, most developmentally appropriate setting, including for children who are pregnant or parenting. Now, I read that out loud to several of my ORR sources, and I won't repeat what several of them said in response, but they, suffice it to say, they said that's just not true in this case. That is basically a description of the mission of ORR, and it is very clearly not what these people believe that the agency is doing in this case.
Of course, we're having this conversation in Sacramento. Why does this matter to California?
Well, a couple things. I mean, I think you mentioned in your conversation with Wendy about how much California really tries to provide in terms of resources for undocumented people, and all the ways in which the state tries to take care of everyone who's living here, whether they have legal permission or not. But this is a situation where the federal government is preempting all of that. People who may have been placed in California may have been placed at places that are much more prepared to deal with pregnant children. They're preempting all of that and kind of whisking them away to this place where they don't have access to nearly that level of resources. So I think that's something to consider. But also, you know, you mentioned Jonathan White, the former director of the Unaccompanied Children Program. He also explained to me that the government tends to, in a sense, kind of experiment on people in its care, because that's a way to try out policies that it might be considering expanding beyond just people that are detained by the federal government. And that was something that was really on his mind as a concern.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your investigation with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the chance to explain it.
Mark Betancourt is a reporter with the California Newsroom, discussing his investigation into pregnant, unaccompanied children being sent to one detention shelter in South Texas that has been flagged as medically inadequate. Mark's story was co-reported with Mose Bushell of the Texas Newsroom. Both the California and Texas Newsrooms are a collaboration of public media outlets across each state. Still ahead, curling is back on TVs across the United States as the Winter Olympics are well underway. We'll talk to a local club teaching the unique sport to beginners, as interest in curling, it's on the rise. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.